Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
There. Good morning, Tri-State. Welcome back to Radio Rehab. This is Lisa Seif. If you have any questions for our guest speaker today, the number is 424-1400. Please call. Nothing's below the belt at Radio Rehab. We're here hoping to help you understand the addiction and substance abuse issues that hit us and our families and the recovery that's possible in ourselves and our families. My guest today I've known all my life, and I'm going to cut to the chase because she's incredible. I consider her everybody's mother. This woman has continued to love in spite of adversity in her life, in her family life, with addiction, with depression, you name it. And she has survived and continued to love and continued to be strong for a lot of us, so I'm very proud to have her today. Hi.
Hi, how are
Everybody's
you?
Everybody's mother. Great. How
nice
are you?
Nice to see you this morning.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, Radio Rehab was invented and developed to help the community understand substance abuse and addictions, and it's something a lot of families don't want to talk about.
That's Did a shame, you? Because it's something very important that every family should talk about because it hits so many families in our community.
Yeah, almost every family anymore now has probably had to deal with substance abuse.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there are just a lot of people. And did you feel this way in your family, that what's said in here stays in here? Don't take our stuff out of this house. This is private. We don't talk about the alcohol abuse or the drug abuse that's going on in our family.
Well, that's probably very true, because when my children grew up, you know, I grew up in a home where there was no alcohol, and I never saw anybody drink. So then when I got married and I had children, I kind of thought that's what it was going to be. But it doesn't happen that way. You really have to talk to your children. You have to be open to your children. And you have to discuss these things, because otherwise you don't know what's going on once they leave the house. And it's important.
Do you think as a mother it's uncomfortable, like talking about sex, to talk about their drinking or drug use is just something mothers are uncomfortable with? Were you?
Yes. Well, my generation, we didn't talk about any of those things. We just thought maybe the kids would go out and find out from other kids. But you can't let your kids find out from other kids. You got to sit down and explain things to them and talk to them about sex and about alcoholism. It can be a killer. It can be a killer with your children.
When did you start to notice that one of your children had a problem?
Well, I think...
How old was he?
I think it started in high school. I mean, he would come home, and I could tell that he was drinking, and, you know, I said, you know, we don't do that. Don't do it. It's dangerous. You shouldn't go out and drive and drink. You could hurt somebody. And now we know that you don't drive and drink, because it can ruin your life for the rest of your life.
And you can
kill somebody and your family, their family.
Yeah.
It's just a devastating thing.
It is, and when you were raising your teenagers, there wasn't even drunk driving laws then.
No.
I think weren't
there
you?
Wasn't.
I mean, weren't parents like, oh, thank God they're drinking and not using drugs?
That's correct. That's correct. But I think one thing leads to another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think it's also peer pressure. Your
Definitely.
Friends say, oh, come on, it won't hurt you, try it. You know, you'll have a good time, you'll let your hair down. You got to say no. You've got to say, no, I don't want to try it. I don't want to do those things. It's dangerous.
And you did teach that to your kids.
Yes, I did. But they went out and they did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So how's a parent deal with that when they are going totally against everything you've wanted them to do?
It's not easy.
You just keep the door open.
You have to keep the door open. I find my grown children are raising their children, and they have teenagers now. And I find that they sit down and they talk to them, mm-hmm. and they listen to what their children have to say, and they spend time with them, which I think is so very important, is to listen and to be aware of what's going on in their lives and to be a part of their lives. That is so, so important. And I have to say, maybe I didn't do all those things.
I think you were very involved with your children. But do parents have that guilt at the choices their kids make?
Yeah, you do. You have that guilt, and you think, what could I have done to change things?
Parenting's got to be the hardest job in the world.
It is the hardest job in the world. And it is. It's the hardest job in the world because you are molding a future of your child.
Well, I know you, and you are an excellent role model. And I
Thank
do
you.
Think role modeling is very important. You not only talk the talk, you walk the walk. But even with that, the power of drink and drug is so out there.
Yeah. It is. It is. They have, their peer pressures, and
so it's just. You had a son that went from drinking to drug use.
Yes, he did.
Did you know that that was happening, or I know didn't you send him to rehab, or how did that all start?
What happened was he started drinking, and then he got into marijuana, and from marijuana he got into other drugs. And his father and I were in denial. We thought, it's just a thing in high school that they do. They'll fool around with this and they'll get over it and they'll go on with their life. But it doesn't happen.
So, but at the time you thought it was experimental.
You're right.
Part of the times. It's the 60s. It's the 70s.
It was the 70s.
Yeah.
And and one thing led to another, and I have a son that is an addict.
And you sent him to treatment.
We sent him away quite a few times to treatment.
Yes, several rehabs.
And I don't think he really wanted to go to treatment. He didn't want to get off drugs.
So you don't have to want it to be put there. Because you guys made him go.
Yeah, we made him. We took him there.
Right.
And we committed him.
Yes, and I hear parents all the time say, well, they're not ready. Well, you know what? They're never going to be ready. You just got to take them and hope it works.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You hope that it works.
And it did. It planted some good seeds.
Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah. Stephen is living on his own. He's taking care of himself. He goes to AA meetings every single day.
Oh, that's great.
You have to live that life. You have to walk the walk.
That's right. Yes.
And you have to be committed to staying clean.
And it took a lot of drink and drugging for him to get that commitment. But
it took many years.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of tough love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't hand out the money every time they say, I need money. And every time they're frantic, they need this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hand it out.
Is that hard for a parent to say no?
Oh, yeah. It took me many years to say no.
Yeah.
It took me many years to learn to say no.
Yeah.
It took me many years of going to AA meetings myself.
I was just going to ask you about that.
And I needed help.
I was just going to ask you about that, and we can talk about that when we come back, too, about your recovery, that you got better, even though he continued in his addiction, that parents can get better in their attitude and outlook on life.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, parents need help. And there's a lot of help out there for you. If you just seek the help, you will, you'll learn the tools. And it takes a lot of tools for parents and for children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we come back, let's talk more about those tools. We're going to take a break from Radio Rehab, and don't go away. Call with your questions. We'll be back shortly. Back, everybody. I have the greatest mother and grandmother in the world sharing her story and a little bit of advice for us and tools for us that have children and grandchildren that we love that have started to get in some trouble. So we were just talking before break about what a parent has to do to stay healthy and keep perspective when you have a person you love, a kid that's addicted. So you were talking about your own recovery before our break.
Well, I think it's important for parents to get help and to find the tools because I was just like every other parent. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know who to talk to. And I would say to my husband, what do we do? And my husband would say, I don't know. What do we do? We've never been in this situation before. And there's so many places here in Evansville that will give you the help that you need. And I really think that's probably the first step that a parent should take, is to get help for themselves.
Not for the addict alcoholic necessarily.
Right, to get help for yourself and then find the ways to get help for your child.
Do you think one of the things a parent should consider is where they go for help, that these people understand substance abuse, addiction, mental health, when they're getting advice? Because parents can get a lot of different advice.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think this issue with substance abuse is a horse of a different color? They need to get advice from people that know how to handle substance abuse.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people that have gone through the program that know what a person is going through. And I think that's important.
Like Al-Anon,
exactly.
Families. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And
did you go to Al-Anon?
Yeah.
Was it helpful?
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful. Things that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
It makes you a better person. It makes you a person. It makes you realize that you have to listen. That's the most important thing in raising children. Listen and watch and be there and be a parent.
So how do you, or when, or how do you learn the difference between enabling and tough parenthood? Is that just something a parent has to come to their own bottom?
Yes. It took me a long time because I enabled.
Yeah.
And that wasn't helping my son. And every time you enable them, you're not helping them find the right tools.
And I think parents, mothers especially, have people saying, don't give them any more. Don't buy them out of this one. Don't justify it. This is what they did. Let them take responsibility. And mothers are always defending till the end.
Oh, and I'll tell you, that's exactly right. I was always, but he needs it. I'm going to give it to him. And, and I'll tell you, they come to you with a sob story that breaks your heart.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many shoes I bought him, how many pieces of clothing that I bought him, and then he'd come back and didn't have it. Someone always stole it, but I'm sure he sold it so that he had money to go back out and buy drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are places you don't have to give them money for anything, because there are places that they can go for clothing. There are places that they can go for food. There are places they can go for medication.
That's right.
So
parents don't know that, I guess, because they hear that story.
I didn't know that
right.
for years.
You thought you were the only resource for
that's
him.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that's the trap a lot of parents get into when they love an addict.
And I found that once I said no, and once I got into the tough love, that he took the tools that he learned and he used them to better himself and to get off of drugs.
So he got better when you stopped rescuing
him? Uh-huh. Once I stopped rescuing him and told him no, and told him, I said, don't call me unless you can call and say, hi, Mom, how are you? How are you feeling? How's my family today? I don't want you to call and say, I need money right away.
Mm-hmm.
Wire me some money. Quick, quick, quick. You know, that's...
You wanted him to learn to be a little more giving to you, too.
Yes, yes. But I think if you give them tough love and you say no, I think they realize that they are going to have to help themselves. And eventually they do.
It is hard to do, though, isn't it?
But it's very hard to cut that.
How do you think it affects the other siblings in the family? Because you're always defending the alcoholic addict.
That's a very good question, because it affects the entire family.
Yeah.
Because they not only go to you, but they go to their siblings. And they're asking for money from them, and they're asking for favors from them. And it affects the entire family.
I know some of the families that I've worked with in the past, the sibling that's addicted is the one that gets all the attention from the parents. Mm-hmm. And the other siblings feel very cheated.
That's true. That is true.
Because the alcoholic will suck the parents dry and the addict.
That's very true. They do that.
Yeah.
It's a terrible disease, but it can be...
arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But you were saying that the parents also have to take care of how sick they can get, too. It's not just the alcoholic or addict, that you had to go to your own meetings and take care of yourself.
Absolutely. That's important, too, for parents to go to meetings.
Yeah.
It is. It's important. And I'll tell you, you should never give up hope.
Right.
I mean, because it might take a long, long time for them to realize what they're doing to themselves and what they're doing to their families. But you can't give up hope.
So you can continue to have hope and faith, but have your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And parents have to get to that, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whew. So how is life now? Your son is in recovery, going to meetings, doing good.
He is very pleased with himself. He's pleased that he did this himself.
Wow.
And for himself.
30 years almost of an addiction.
It took 30 years.
And you never gave up hope, did you?
There were times that I kind of wondered.
You were ready to let go, for sure.
There were times that I wanted to let go. That's true. But I hung in there, and... But it's an everyday process. I mean, he lives this every single day of his life. And he knows he has to go to the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, as long as he's in those meetings, he's doing okay.
Yes.
Because I know you learn, me too, when they're doing that, they're on a good path. When they stop going to the meetings.
Once they stop going to the meetings, then they kind of fall off the wagon. And
yeah.
Then they have problems again. They have, yeah, it's a commitment. It's a lifetime commitment.
Do you see it, and do you think parents need to see it as a disease like cancer and diabetes, that it's something you have to treat all the time? You have to change your lifestyle. It's a forever deal.
I think it is a disease, and I think it is a forever, and it's a lifestyle, and it's also, you have to change the company that you're keeping. You cannot hang around with the same people that you've been hanging around with.
That's right.
That drink and that do drugs. You have to change your whole lifestyle. You have to find new friends.
Every speaker has said that. People, places, things has to change right off the bat. The hardest thing to do.
And a lot of times when you go to your AA meetings, you will meet people there.
Yeah, yeah.
And become friends with them. Also, your sponsor is very important.
I'm glad you mentioned sponsorship. That is a key. Mm-hmm. You really know somebody's committed to recovery when they tell you they've got a sponsor.
Right. It took my son, I would say he probably had... How many leaves?
He's been through the best of them, hasn't he?
Yes, he really has. He's had a lot of sponsors.
Yes. Good sponsors, thank God.
And they were all good.
Yeah.
They were all good.
Yes.
And that's important.
He had great treatment.
Yeah, he's had...
Mm-hmm. Very good rehab, good parent support, sibling support, AANA, everything support.
Mm-hmm. But yet it took him 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long time.
I don't know if we'll ever figure out why some are able to grasp this thing and others just have to hit so many more bottoms before they get there.
I think sometimes, I know when my children grew up, my one son that became addicted had ADHD. And back then, I don't know if they didn't know that much about it, but they certainly didn't see it in him. And I think that was another thing that kind of started him. There was a doctor that told him that he was treating his ADHD with taking the drugs, but he was overdoing it. So sometimes, you know, if your kids are overactive, over hyper, you know, maybe you ought to contact your doctor and
get them tested. Yeah, I think you're right. There's this restlessness inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And nobody likes to walk around feeling that kind of anxiety. You know, you're different than other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have a different way of, your energy level's different. You're insecure. You're self-conscious.
Right.
Yeah.
And my son told me that when he was in grade school, he said, Mom, he said, I couldn't sit down and read a book because I couldn't concentrate.
Yeah. Yep.
And
a lot of people, when they do get clean and sober, have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
The other diagnoses, if you will. Now they call it co-occurring disorders.
Well, they do. Oh,
where there's an addiction and a mental health issue, like an ADHD or a bipolar or depression, anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're learning in this field, elimination of the drink for a lot of us is the beginning, but some people have other things they have to deal with as
mm-hmm.
well. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, folks in recovery that were abused sexually or physically.
Mm-hmm.
They get clean and sober and can't get happy in AA, and they wonder why I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing and I can't get comfortable. And then you come to find out they'd been abused or they'd had depression or something else that we in AA aren't really equipped to deal with. So that might have been one of the things that was holding him back too, if he had that other diagnosis.
Right. Or if, you know, he was young, if he would have said to me, you know, Mom, I'm having trouble reading or I'm having trouble concentrating. But, you know, children don't tell you
mm-mm.
everything.
Especially boys. Yeah. They're tough, you know. They're supposed to know how to handle everything on their own.
Right. Right. Girls probably would, but boys wouldn't.
Mm-mm. So... what would you say, if you could say anything, to parents out there that are struggling or that keep watching the people they love go back to the drink or go back to the drug? What can they do for themselves to have peace? Maybe parents don't ever have peace when their kids are hurting. Never mind that question. Okay.
That's probably true, Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, as a mother, you worry about your children. I don't care what age they are. From the day they're born
until they're 99.
You worry about them. Just seek help, because there is help out there for all of you. And I think that's very important, is finding the right place to go for yourself,
mm-hmm.
number one.
For the parent.
Right. And then to help your child. And
just don't
give up. Just don't give up.
Well, that's definitely worth going into 2009 with that mindset don't do it alone. Don't give up. Get help.
Right. And you're not alone. There are so many parents out there that are going through the same thing.
Isn't that the truth?
That when you go to these meetings and you meet other people and you hear what they're going through, it kind of, you know, it kind of...
lightens it.
Yeah, lightens your burden.
Mm-hmm. So do you think parents should try to go to open Alcoholics Anonymous meetings or open Narcotics Anonymous meetings as well as Al-Anon or Families Anonymous?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just get yourself there.
Mm-hmm. Get yourself there, and you'll be glad you took the first step.
Yes. I don't know if we have a call, because our speaker is down. So, caller, if you have a question, please do ask that question, and we will get back with you. Looks like we do. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Could you please address the issue of adult children that are having problems, but also have children from where a parent would have to deal with grandchildren?
Oh, great question. Thank you, caller. We will talk about that right now. What do you do when they're adult children? They're still your children, but they're adults and they have their own children. As a parent, what can you do?
Oh, gosh, Lisa.
Same thing, go find resources.
Yeah. The grandparents, yes, yes. In fact, caller, the classes that I went to, there were grandparents there that were seeking help. And that's what you have to do for yourself.
A lot of grandparents are raising their kids because the parents are addicted.
Yeah, I know several families that are raising their grandchildren.
So do you
and
think...
And I'll tell you something, that's a wonderful thing if you are raising those children because they need all the love that they can get. And grandparents can give more love to children and grandchildren.
That's true.
Yeah.
So she should continue being the greatest grandmother in the world.
Absolutely.
And find
she is
help.
Already.
Yeah, true. And find help for herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they're adult children, you can do an intervention, but you don't have as much influence, maybe.
No.
That's where drug courts have really come in and taken over the parenting role. You know, the law's gotten involved now, and the judges become the big daddies in the sky, and we that work in the drug court movement kind of become the mothers and fathers and counselors and coaches and teachers. But if there's not legal issues where a judge can do the intervention as a grandmother or mother, I guess, as you're saying, get help for yourself and go to the experts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people that'll give you advice. But
no, you will go to the experts.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, caller. Great question. And like you were saying, they're your babies forever. So she's got adult children, but they're still her children.
Absolutely.
Well, for our last 2 minutes, I want to say thank you.
Lisa, thank you.
You're
for
incredible.
For inviting me here.
Thank you for coming.
This is an important issue.
Yeah.
And everybody should be aware of it. And I think you're doing a fabulous job in what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I love it.
And, you know, Lisa said all the nice things about me, but let me tell you, this Lisa site is one wonderful woman.
Thank you.
She really and truly is. She does a lot of good in this community.
Well, it was given to me. As you said, too, and we got to take care of each other in this thing.
Absolutely.
In closing, have a wonderful, safe, and sober New Year to all of you in recovery, parents, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, cousins, teachers, ministers, rabbis. Have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's. We will be back next Saturday again for Radio Rehab. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling. And this will be up on the internet in a week on www.lisasifecares.net. So you can hear it on the World Wide Web. Thank you for coming and talking. I know it's painful when you're a parent.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for
nice of you to ask me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the hope. Until next week, you all, don't forget to do the next right thing.